That fifth word, which will be brought to us by Dr. Gary Simpson. He is an assistant professor of preaching at Drew Theological School. But for me, most importantly, he is the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church of Brooklyn, New York. He is known not only as an amazing preacher of the word, but he is also known as a loving pastor who has encouraged his congregation to work extensively in local ministry, in local missions, as they work in numerous services to help their community at large. Now, Lord, as he come from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst.
Before anything else, I want to give thanks to Pastor Jackson, and I want to celebrate his vision for this day. And for there are so many caricatures of both church and academy that have just been disintegrated in our midst. Some, I know what our students say. They say, and they don't even believe in God. And we say, what some of our students say, well, that is good scholarship, but it would never preach in my church. And today, we have seen both of those things shattered. Thank God for my colleagues who give me hope both for the church and the academy. Two places in which we need desperately hope right now. I thirst. This text does let us know that Jesus was in death as he was in life, misunderstood or outrightly ignored. All of his ministry, he spent trying to give people a vision of a kingdom that was both not yet and at hand. And for many of them, they missed. Nicodemus came to him one night and asked him about being born again. Jesus explained it to him, and he said, "What? Enter into my mother's womb?" He missed it. And you can go through these gospels and find where people have misunderstood him and what he said. This was not a loud cry, but perhaps almost inaudible, an expression of the anguish and agony and the truth that comes in knowing that even when we are doing a quote-unquote spiritual work, it takes toll on our physical body. You and I talk about being spiritual and being human as if they are disconnected, as if somehow in order to be spiritual, and quite honestly, the most prolific theologian in the New Testament suffers from this fallacy of duality and duplicity. Paul talks about the spirit and the flesh warring against each other, that either you are in the spirit or in the flesh. But Jesus lets us know on Calvary that there was a congruence in what he was doing to satisfy the spiritual need of humanity, but it took its toll on him in his body. Some of us would come to a day like this and want to somehow disembody Jesus. Say that he was dying, but he wasn't really dying, because you know he was here before all that happened and this and that. But he suffered, bled, and died. Shame on us in the 21st century. We don't like to talk about a pained and suffering Jesus. Somehow, he is the deliverer of spiritual cotton candy. A bag of fluff that when you put it in your mouth, it disappears. Jesus, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Another connection to this Psalm 22, a little further down around verse 15, where Jesus is quoting the psalmist who talks about how his tongue is stuck to the roof of his mouth. Now, some people would say, a mighty fine time to quote scripture, Jesus, in the midst of all of this, but he is centering himself in that which he always knew. Some of us, when we get to the crises of life, we forget all those things. The scripture that we say, and we start creating these new scripture, like, you know, the Lord, as the Bible say, the Lord knows how much you can bear. That ain't in the Bible. Or, God helps those who help themselves. That ain't in the Bible. We start quoting things, and we're not sure whether or not we are reading the bumper sticker of the car in front of us, or something that is deep in the text of God. I thirst. Jesus is reminding us that this life and the warfare that we, although we wrestle not against flesh and blood, it takes toll on our flesh and blood. Some of you have been in church all week. My predecessor would say to us, we were preaching, said, even if you can't give the Lord your best on Sunday morning, at least give the Lord a rested body. Some of us run so much in the name of Jesus, just so we can get our name on the program. In the name of Jesus, running here and there. Get up in the choir and then get mad when we're there when they don't sing my song. I thirst. The other thing we do on this day is that we approach Good Friday so selfishly. We approach it from the standpoint of what Jesus has done for us. We reach back into the book of Isaiah and say, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We talk so selfishly about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We forget that Jesus serves two functions. Jesus came here to show us what God was like, and to show God what we could be like. But none of us wants to run up on Good Friday and take what Jesus said. We forgot what he said while he was alive, which was, if anyone be my disciple, he and she must take up their cross. And but oh, on this cross stuff, we want to just let Jesus do it. Not just let Jesus lead you, let Jesus fix it. And we forget then that God in Christ is calling us to take the journey to the cross. Thanks be to God that we do not get there for efficacy, for salvation, for Jesus has done it. And some of us in our own lives and with the people that we are around, we spend our time trying to climb back on the cross. Jesus has already died for that. But I wonder, today when we think about how Jesus thirsts, I wonder, does that have us ask the question about our own thirst? We thirst after things that cannot satisfy us. We are consumed by commercials that tell us something like Gatorade is a thirst quencher. The only thirst we are satisfying there are the thirst of those who sell it to you. What about our thirst? Does he call us by saying, I thirst? Does he call us to come to a new understanding of the things we thirst for, even on Good Friday? What are the things in our lives that so make us hunger and thirst? Now, it is not just what Jesus said. It's what happened after he said that cannot be missed. For when he said, I thirst, John tells us that they took a stick made of hyssop and a sponge, and there just happened to be some sour wine around, and they stuck it in that wine and then stuck it to his face. Now, there are two times here in the text for the day. You read all of the Gospels where you'll see before going to the beginning of crucifixion, they offered Jesus something to drink, as it were, as an anesthetic, and he refuses it. He refuses because what he is about to do, he wants to take on the full brunt of death. Some of us, as we are walking toward our own death, we use so many things to anesthetize ourselves, to be painkillers for us as we are on our way to death, but not Jesus. He wanted the full brunt of it, but he refused that one. But this one, they stuck up to his face. They made a stick out of hyssop. Do you know how flimsy hyssop is? They took a stick and they wrapped a vine, made it out of hyssop, put the sponge on it, which would bring weight to the end, watches, so that even in their attempt to satisfy his thirst, they were taunting him. It fell. It was not a strong stick, a hyssop vine with weight at the end. As they stuck it to his lips, would fall. Can you see your Savior in his last moments wanting a drink? And they're still teasing him. I need one of these other scholars to help me with one thing. Why was there a jar of sour wine at a crucifixion anyway? Why? But you must remember, we've been talking about this history of the death of people who were unwanted by society. You have seen some of these vile pictures in this own republic of folks bringing their children to watch as black men hung in trees, took pictures beside carcasses that were now dangling and mangled as part of a body. They even in his death taunted him. But thanks be to God, I have a Savior who himself is a man of sorrow and acquainted with my grief, whose thirst reminds me that I too should be thirsty, who's standing nobly, hanging nobly on a cross in the midst of a place that tried to humiliate and undignify him, that in all of these places, because some of your friends, even today, wonder, girl, why are you going to church at 12 o'clock on a Friday? God's honest truth. I was parking my car today. The person helped me, thank you, helped me park my car. Guy was walking by down the street, pastor. He said, I'm going to be at church one of these days. But there are a lot of people there. I wonder who died. Jesus died. You don't know? He died that you and I might live. He died once, so we didn't have to die twice. He was born once, so we could be born a second time. He died.